So what I was looking up just before class and trying to find, I was looking for a particular verse by one of the early translators. This is H.H. Wilson, which, let's see, let's see, his time period, do you know? I want to say late 1800s, but I'm gonna double check. H.H.
That's a
Wilson.
good guess.
Most of the Sanskrit trans. So he lived from 1786 to 1860. Most of our Vedic translations are from that time period. During that time, there was a big interest in Vedic translations and knowledge, and it was like revolutionizing Western thought. It's like, oh my gosh, look, you can think like this. You can. There's things not in the outside of the Bible. You know, it was because science had kind of broken down some biblical limitations. And then they were seeing what India had, and they were just mind blown, and they were translating like crazy during that time period, late 1700s through the 1800s, up until World War I. World War I kind of ended the translation stuff. Then it got a little cheesier, and I don't want to say cheesier, but it turned into the more the Theosophical movement, which was, yeah, can you just hit that so that's off? It was more. I don't
New
know.
Agey.
Huh? New agey. It
New
turned
Agey.
new agey, where these guys were more philologists, where they were like trying to like compare texts and get critical editions and things of that nature. And with the Theosophists, it became the return of the Maitreya Buddha. It kind of like Christian, like waiting for the Messiah, somehow got turned into like this Hindu, mix up. But there's one verse I was looking for and I can't find it. But you know, he's talking about these big cycles that the Hindus use, and it's Wilson that says, he's like, can you believe these Hindus making up these big numbers? Aren't they crazy? And like the numbers are actual numbers utilized today. But of course, in the late 1700s, early 1800s, they were exceedingly big numbers for European thought, you know? But yeah, so I'll read those quotes when we get to that section. We got to do the Brihaspati year first.
Are you looking at Vishnu Purana for that, or?
Yeah, Vishnu Purana, the quotes I have right here are his footnotes for Book 1, Chapter 3. And there's one other place he has this one footnote where he makes fun of how big their numbers are. And I kind of laugh, you know, because he's making fun of how big their numbers are. And then all of a sudden those numbers correlate to reality. And we can laugh at the fact that the Bible says the world's 5,000 years old, you know? So the tides have turned, but nobody's saying anything about it. Except me. You silly guys, and you still don't admit you're wrong. Anyway, Brihaspati Samvatsara. And I put the term Brihaspati in front of this. Sometimes it's in front, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just they say Samvatsara and they mean Brihaspati Samvatsara. But occasionally they'll say Samvatsara and they just mean a year, a solar year. So just for clarification's sake, I'm saying Brihaspati Samvatsara. Sometimes they say Brihaspatya Samvatsara, which is a little more correct Sanskrit. You guys both get a time to dig into this section a little bit.
I've looked at it.
All right. So what's the magic happening between Jupiter and Saturn here?
No, I like this section. I couldn't wait for us to talk about it.
Good. So I hope you got lots of questions. We have this magic happening between Jupiter and Saturn, and if we look, Jupiter and Saturn, when we look at transits, the primary planets we're looking at with transits are Jupiter, Saturn, and Rahu. Those are the number one transits we care about. The other transits, you know, they happen for a little bit and they change. It's no big deal. But we really care about those big guys because they're slow and they're heavy hitting. and our
why not freedom?
Yeah.
Why not K2?
When we say Rahu, we're also inferring K2, but the transit of K2 doesn't hit things like Rahu does. When you look, like, when Rahu transits the Lagna, person is going to be all fuzzy and confused and have, you know, hard things going on in their life. When it's transiting the moon, they're gonna start being a little bipolar. When it's transiting Venus, particularly when they're older, you have to start worrying about uterine cancers and, you know, female reproductive cancers. So Rahu is going to give you these big deal results. K2, you're not going to be looking for that kind of stuff from.
Okay.
So those are the three main planets that you always, you just, like, I look at where those planets are transiting before the reading even starts. You know, I'm like, okay, this is here, this is here. And when people say, oh, I haven't had work in this amount of time, like this one woman, she's like, I haven't had a job since August. And okay, so Rahu changed in August. What's Rahu doing? We just look at the timing of what people say and these transit situations. And I have a little, and I use that, the back of my calendar has a little, has the transit and the retrogression report for the year. And so I literally, let's see, I'll show you. If you look, you see I highlight the Saturn, Jupiter, and Rahu movements. Just so they stand out, so I can give quick, you know, I have no doubt when what is causing what. When what is causing what? When who is causing what? So, all right, so back to Jupiter and Saturn. So our primary, oh my gosh, here comes the turbaned man.
Oh, sorry, mate.
20 minutes, come on. 5 you can get away with. 20's, oh, 20's a bit much.
Yeah. It's been a quite a day. I apologize. It's been one of those days.
And you got a notebook right there, too.
Great.
So, what are our primary factors when we look at a calendar?
Days and months.
Days and months, which are made by what?
The sun and the moon.
The sun and the moon. So our primary chronicators are the sun and the moon, right? And so when, but they give us a very, I mean, they give us the year, the day and the year and the month. And when we start getting bigger time, we're using this Jupiter and Saturn, but if you look at Jupiter and Saturn, you guys don't get to see the chocolate that just got put on
chocolate?
My lap.
Yeah, I knew it was chocolate.
Raw chocolate.
I've seen that stuff, yeah, at the grocery store.
It's pretty good.
I'm not the biggest fan of honey sweetened chocolate, but, you know. I mean, you can't complain when it's this juicy. And
Hey, that's not fair.
That's good.
Say again.
Very mean.
I get to go swaha. All right. So sun and moon, right? So, there are chronicators. Why would we jump to Jupiter and Saturn?
To look at bigger cycles.
Yeah, and how do they relate? How can we use them instead of the sun and the moon?
Jupiter moves Urashi every year. Saturn moves around the whole thing in 30 years, roughly.
29 years.
Yeah,
so he's representing a synodic month, like Jupiter's representing the solar month. So as far as harmonics go, Jupiter and Saturn are, when for their full cycle, the 12-year cycle and the 29.5-year cycle are entering a harmonic of the sun and the moon. So they're becoming like the sun and the moon, and the sun and the moon, we look at their conjunctions, right? So we're looking at the conjunctions of this Saturn and Jupiter because of that similarity with their harmonics to the sun and the moon. So it's not an accident. We're not just like randomly saying, let's use Saturn and Jupiter. Well, why not use Jupiter and Rahu, or Saturn and Rahu, or why not use, you know, Rahu and Venus, or whatever random reality, right? We're particularly focusing on that harmonic of the sun and the moon. So the sun and the moon still stay our primary time chronicators. And then they become amplified in Jupiter and Saturn. Clear? So it's still all about the sun and the moon. Or what's called the yugmaka, the polarities. All right, so here's the magic special numbers. So average motion of Jupiter is 5 minutes, and therefore takes 12 years to... So his daily motion is 5 minutes. So he moves 5 minutes. Daily motion of Saturn is 2 minutes. Takes 29.5 years. So we got the months and a year connected to Sun and Jupiter, synodic month, Moon and Saturn. Jupiter moves 30 degrees in a year, one sign. And Saturn moves 12 degrees a year. So we have, just like the sun and the moon, we had the harmonic where it was the moon moves 12 degrees in a tithy, and there's 30 tithies, and the sun moves 30 degrees and 12 rashi. We're getting that 30 and 12 ratio. Here we're getting a similar variation where we're getting Jupiter moves 12 signs in his cycle, but he's moving 30 degrees a year. Where Saturn, he takes 29.5 years, but he's moving 12 degrees a year. So for him to get the 30, it's 12. So we're getting the 30-12 happening still, just like the sun and the moon. You know, it's that whole frequency. The harmonic is fully there. And it's considered a 2-5 ratio, which all right. So how often do Jupiter and Saturn become conjunct?
Every 20 years,
huh?
We both said every 20 years.
All right, you're both that smart. Now, let's see, before we go deeper into the 20, so the Jovian year. Do we want to go into the Jovian year? Yeah, let's go into the Jovian year first. We just got to go into the Jovian year because it's 20 Jovian years. It's not 20 solar years. It's 20 Jovian years. Just to, you know, that slight differentiation, right? So the months can not be 100%, you know, 365. We're not talking 20 365 point whatever years. We're talking about 20 Jovian years. Now, a Jovian year, and we just want to get this right here. There's three main ways, but there's probably about 20 different ways. Three main ways in different areas that Jovian years are calculated. In northern India, they're given the name according to the Jovian year expired at the beginning of the solar year. So, for example, at the beginning of the solar year, which solar year begins... at the spring equinox, Jupiter right now is in Virgo, so the Jovian year, this is the Virgo year. So it gets calculated over, and it's based on Jupiter's position there. That's the standard northern India. In eastern India, they use the Jovian year actually completed at the moment you're dealing with. So they don't care about the solar year correlation. It's just, you know, there's not an Adhika or Kshaya Jovian year. It's just straight wherever Jupiter is placed. In southern India, it's merely a solar year. You know, it has no actual relationship to Jupiter. It's, they're using just the solar year reality when they say Samvatsara. Let's see. So just a little, we don't have to go too much into the name. There's different ways to name the Jovian years. And so I made that statement, but you know, the three main ways, but there's actually like 15 different, I don't know, there's like so many places, there's so many different ways to calculate the Jovian year. Every little kingdom had their own variation. now, the Samvatsara and so let's first go into the calculation. So there's this little, I pulled out Johann Kepler's little version right here for the book, but we're gonna look at, as soon as I find my mouse, okay, there's the mouse. Screen share. Ooh, doo, 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 doo. I'm not seeing what I'm looking for. Okay, let's see.
Are the 60 names of the years, are those, I mean, are those standard regardless of how you're calculating it, or is that mainly
The 60 names are standard. The 60 name of the Brihaspati Samvatsara are standard. Of the Jovian year, there's different names. Does that make sense? Okay. Because within that, there's those 12 Jovian years are always the same. You know, there's the 12 repeat 5 times within the 60. So these 60 are the samvats, are the 60 samvatsara cycle names. All right, so let's, I got this going here. And screen share, give us the picture. All right. So this is a little diagram that didn't make it into the book. I used Johann Kepler's, and I used Johann Kepler just because, you know, it's cool, man, that we got, like, you know, the guy that discovered ellipses, you know, was playing with this whole concept, and he was an astrologer, which everybody kind of leaves out because they think it, like, makes him less of a scientist, but it's like, there's the whole reason he figured out that the planets are on ellipses is because he was reading charts and he was trying to do his best to make sure he had the right chart to read. And he's one of the main fathers of modern astronomy. So, and you want to get a little closer, Justin, so you can see this here. So let's start on, and actually I'm going to take a quick step back. And oh, let's see, I'm gonna stop the can I do it here? Can I stop video? I didn't know we were videoing. Is it automatically videoing? Let me see. Record. Turn this recorder, record the cloud. Let's see if that works. Okay. so screen share. All right. So here we have, we're going to start with 1940. This is a cycle right here. And if we look, we have 1940, we see the end degrees of one is Aries. So we see the end degrees of Aries. We have a conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn, right? And then, oh no, we have before that, 1921, we have in Virgo. Very beginning of Virgo, we have a conjunction. And then 20 years later, after 1920, add 20, we see 1940. So you see, we're using these Jovian years. It's not exactly, it's not 1941, it's 1940, because there's that variation. And it pops over to here. Then we follow that over, we add 20 years, and look, we get 1961. So you see that we're using Jovian years. And we get that in the beginning of Capricorn. And then we are, where are we going from there? Over there from 1961, we get 1980, right here, again in the middle of Virgo. And then we add 20 years from 1980, and we have the year 2000 at the very end of Aries. Now, this very end of Aries, when Jupiter and Saturn are conjunct there, what's the situation when Jupiter, how's Jupiter like Aries? How's Saturn like Aries? So this was our 2000 conjunction, okay? And generally, we have 10 years of the Jupiter first and 20 years and 10 years of the Saturn next. So we are right now with this dasha running the last section of this Saturn in Aries conjunction. Do you get that? And guess who our president is at the end of this Saturn and Aries conjunction, you know? you know, to think that, like, the world is going to get better with, you know, after 2000, it's... And we had, if we look in here, that conjunction, we had the whole housing crash and, you know, whole world markets are all suffering from this right here. And if we look, what was the year of the Depression?
29.
Okay, so that was after this Virgo one then. So we weren't hitting that 1941. Okay. But so we got the 2000 there. And
40 was World War II though, right? Somewhere in there.
1940 was World War II.
Yeah.
Depression, that was...
Well, the stock market crashed in 29.
In 29, yeah. Okay. So, it's not that, we can't blame it on that conjunction. But we can definitely blame Trump on that conjunction. we can blame everything. this is how you predict world events. This is big world events are predicted with this. Not little personal type stuff. And so after 2000, our next conjunction is over here in 2020 at the end of Capricorn. Or no, beginning of Capricorn. The circle. so we see that. So and then, oh, that's my okay. And then our next conjunction after that is 2040. We're at the end of Virgo. And at that point, we're hitting 2060, and look, we leave the fire sign, and we're hitting an earth sign. So now, the change, we get three conjunctions in every sign. And when we hit those signs, notice it was end of Aries, so here it was changing. So we were getting that change from, because previous to this conjunction, we would have been, when we were hitting in the beginning of Aries, we were beginning of Aries, Sagittarius and Leo. So it was going in there, and right now we've been running this transition where there's fire sign, and then it's hitting these earth signs, and now as this next this 2060 conjunction hits in, we become fully in the earth sign. We've fully left the fire sign. Does that make sense? You see how it's moving forward. So these are moving into the earth signs, and this is moving into the sign there. So whenever that trine is in, is changing an element, it becomes a time where there's a lot of shifting happening in the social scene. So we can see, you know, we're at the end of this one aspect of culture, and we're entering another.
So freedom,
yeah.
Is that shifting felt most in the first time it hit an earth sign from the fire, or throughout the whole time it's transitioning?
I haven't done that much research on it. The only person that's done that much, a lot of research on it, I wasn't too impressed by her interpretations. There's a whole big, thick book written on it called...
Oh, yeah.
In Search of Destiny. In Search of Destiny.
Hathaway or something?
Yeah, by Edith Hathaway. And to me, she's using two general of interpretations for my liking. And I haven't, I did all these because I was hoping to do some bigger research, and then that never happened. So, Yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the difference between them, whether the beginning or the end of that transition. But the big thing is transitions are normally, they take slow. You know, this is, if we think about the world before 1940 and or really before 1920, what's our earliest one here? Yeah, if we think about the world before 1920 and after 1920, we're in a very different world. So, and it didn't happen overnight. It was a multi-year slow progression.
The Roaring Twenties.
And the Roaring Twenties, I mean, they were a very different reality stepped in than what was happening for the last 200 years. All right, so let's see. We go back to that. All right, and so let's look at some of those cycles a little deeper. So it's 20-20-20 to get back, to create a whole triangle. And so that gives us the 60-year cycle. And we got 12, we either have 5 Jupiter cycles, or what was the most common way to look at it in the Vedic time was 12 5-yuga cycles. So they had a 5-year cycle, and 12 of them was a samvatsara. So whether we divide it into 5 12s or 12 fives, you know, depending how somebody wants to look at it. But these 5 yugas you'll see in Vedic literature, and they're listed here on page 66 is. Those 5 are named Samvatsara, Parivatsara, Invatsara, Anuvatsara, Vatsara, and then there were intercalary named Amhas, Aspati, and Samsarpa. Now, the 5-yuga cycle, and so this is important when we get here, because this repeats in multiple places. It's another one of those when we're looking at harmonics. The number of months in a 5-year cycle are 60 months. So 5 years, each containing 12, so we have 60. Where else do we have 60?
In the cycles of the day, and
where in the cycles of the day?
60 minutes.
60 minutes gatikas. In the hour. 60 gatikas, and that's the real important one there. From the Vedic perspective, that we have the 60 gatikas of 24 minutes. From the hour zone, we have the 24 hours of 60 minutes. So notice again, there's that 24-60 harmonic happening. 24 hours of 60 minutes or 60 vigatikas of 24 minutes broken down into 24 vigatikas. So we have this magic 60 there, and this 12 5 the 5-year yugas can each take on an element and become a year. So in the whole 60-year cycle, we have Jupiter in each sign. We have Jupiter in Aries in a fire element, Jupiter in Aries in a water element, Jupiter in Aries in an earth element. So within that 5-year yuga cycle, we have those 5 elements, and then we have the 12 of Jupiter. And that became, in the Chinese system, the system of the animals. And I was born the year of the fire dragon. And I think the dragon is connected, if I'm correct, to Aries. I don't know if that's correct or not, but what's your?
Horse.
Horse? What kind of horse?
78, so
I don't know. Earth dragon.
Earth dragon. You're an earth dragon, and I'm a fire dragon. Yeah. Fire and earth are friendly, so.
Right.
What are you, Maggie?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh, you don't know your Chinese samvatsara?
I don't. I think I'm a rabbit or something like that.
What about you, Frank?
Rooster count?
Huh?
Rooster? Is that one of them?
No, I'm sorry, I just had to laugh.
No, it's okay.
Let's see. Oh, this makes it hard.
Those are cute.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can just Google real fast. So, 2000 was a metal dragon. Let's see. So you were Earth Dragon, which is 1988. Mm-hmm. And what's your year, Maggie?
87. 80. Oh, yeah, I'm a rabbit.
What kind of rabbit?
I don't know.
A fire rabbit.
She's fire a
fire rabbit?
Mm-hmm. 87's a fire rabbit.
I'm a metal rooster.
A metal rooster. Oh my goodness. So this is so yeah. Huh?
That's so unsexy. A metal rooster.
Oh. My new band.
And what kind of horse are you?
I'm Earth Horse.
Earth Horse. All right, same as Eric. So, This is the same, it's the Chinese version, but it's based on the same thing, and their whole system, they basically took the cycles and then they stabilized it. So they're not actually watching the cycles of Jupiter and Saturn, but it's based on the whole concept of the cycle of Jupiter and Saturn. That's where the mathematics is coming from. All right. So, within this cycle, we have, let's go back to the screen share. Within this cycle, we have, three conjunctions and the 6D makes a triangle. And that triangle is considered, a circle with a triangle in it, you know, it's. In all yantras in Hinduism, that's the representation of the goddess, of Shakti. And so here we have this Shakti trine. Saturn is connected to Kali, and Jupiter is connected to Tara. So we have the two main Mahavidyas interacting here, creating Shakti in the sky. Let's see. So another way to utilize that is, and let's see, I will open Frank's chart. For the other way to utilize that, Frank. All right, so if we look at Frank's chart, and I should have opened it here. File. Open. All right, can you guys see that, or do I need to change what's sharing?
You have to change.
All right, so we got Frank's chart here, right? And so if we look, Frank was born during a Saturn-Jupiter conjunction. Oh, that makes it. I can't teach the special thing on there. So because this is a point of the triangle right here. So the 11th house becomes a Shakti Rashi. This becomes a Rashi that has a lot of power to manifest and create. All right, and then.
You're saying because Saturn and Jupiter are in that house, or because it's some special trine?
Because Saturn and Jupiter are in that house, making that a special trine. All right, and when we look at your chart, Maggie, let's see. So we see there's a difference, you know, Saturn and Jupiter are trine here, and if we look. 1, 2, 3, 4. Are there any places that they're both aspecting?
Jupiter is aspecting Saturn.
Exactly. So for you, that 11th house becomes the Shakti Rashi as well.
That's okay, but it's cursed.
It's okay. What? Your Saturn's cursed?
Yeah.
How's your Saturn cursed?
from Mars and Rahu.
Yeah, you have a cursed Saturn. But it's your so your Shakti Rashi is cursed.
What, great.
What can we say? I mean, I was just happy that you had a Shakti Rashi and all right. So we're looking at Justin's chart real fast, and do we have a place where they are both aspecting?
Saturn is aspecting.
Aquarius, how Aquarius?
No, are they? No. I can't remember.
I think so.
No, no.
Where's Saturn's 10th house aspect?
Virgo.
And where's Jupiter's 5th house aspect?
Oh, the 12th house.
So the 12th house becomes your Shakti Rashi.
Okay. Interesting.
All right. So like this, we can utilize that concept of Shakti in the chart.
So you're saying though that it gives some energy to create around?
It gives it makes that sign have a lot of creative energy. And anything more I can't say because that's Jaimini, that's the Jaimini program where Guruji teaches more techniques and all this on that, so.
Okay.
But that's your Shakti Rashi, and that's official and, you know, creative Rashi. So let's see, what am I saying here? So 60-year cycle, it moves officially, like, 9 degrees, but it's 8.9 degrees every 60 years. So, and that was what we saw when, okay, screen share. When we looked at this, each time it's coming together, it's moving about 8.9 degrees. And I say about because do you see that right there? That's a lot shorter than this over here, right? And let's see. And so when we say 8.9 degrees, we're pretending that the Jupiter Saturn cycle is a perfect circle. And if it was a perfect circle, it would be exactly 8.9 degrees. Do you see that? So each one of these is 8.93 degrees. Bless you. So this is ideal. As you saw in that chart though, this one right here is a little closer and this one's a little farther away, right? And why that is this is a map of, this is a literal map of the last 800 conjunctions. And, you know, when I was getting ready for the class, I'm like, you know, I got to do something with this, you know, like all these pictures I make and they just sit on my hard drive. I got to like put it somewhere. So maybe I don't know. I probably won't have time to do something with it tonight and then it'll disappear into oblivion again. So we can see that with that ellipse, do you see how it's leaning slightly a little bit more to one side of the zodiac and how sometimes those conjunctions are a little tighter than others as they're moving? And that this little tighter than others is because it's an ellipse. It's not a perfect circle. It would be so pretty if it was a perfect circle. I mean, look how pretty that is, right? But it's not. It looks like that. That's reality.
It's probably like got the phi ratio in there or something, you know?
The what show?
Like the phi ratio is another form of perfection.
Yeah. In the real one, you mean?
No, in the lopsided one.
Well, maybe.
Because I don't know. Golden ratio isn't a perfect.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know if the ellipse. That's the mathematics of an ellipse. But any which way, so we have that perfect circle, that has 8.93 every 60 years when it's coming back to the same place. So that same place means in that same zone, it's moving. You know, approximately 8.9. And in this way, the triangle can be seen moving forward in the zodiac. And that's called the Shakti Parivartana. Parivartana just means the turning and the movement of that triangle of Shakti, which is changing what's being activated in culture, in society, in everything of that nature. In Western astrology, they translate it as the rotation of the trigon of great conjunctions. And it stays in an element for about 200 years. So we have a few 200-year cycles. We have a nakshatra cycle that's about 200 years. How's the nakshatra cycle about 200 years?
There's a Vimshashri Dasha, which is not, that's 120, right?
Let's see. So a nakshatra is 1320 degrees, which is 13 point what? That ends up being, because it's only, so we have 160 divided by 100. Is 0.6. So then, so a fourth of that divide by 4 is 0.15. So 13 divided by 4. Oops. 13 divided by 4 for padas plus 0.15, so 3.4. So a pada is 3.4, and the times 72 years, which is the precession. So the precession is moving through a nakshatra pada every 244 years, which means it moves through a nakshatra in how many years? Approximately. That's this cycle. This cycle moves 800, 244, so round it to 250, and it's about 1,000. So the precession is moving through a nakshatra about every 1,000, but we're getting about 244 for a pada, and here we're getting 200 for an element. So we have these, just like we have the Rashi Dasha and the Chara Dasha, or I should say the Rashi Dasha and the Vimshottari Dasha, which right now you're only using Vimshottari. In our next chapter, you're going to be using, we're going to have like all kinds of dashas we're going to be using soon. It's the same way. We have these two, we have this Rashi and a Vimshottari dasha happening. So we have our Graha dasha happening with the Jupiter Saturn cycle, and we have the Rashi cycle happening with the Ayanamsha. Was that too much?
I'm pulling you. I'm really tired today, though. I'm a little slower.
All right. So any which way, it stays. So the cycle moves through all the elements in 800 years, and it moves back to the same starting point in 2,400 years. So we have that 2,400-year cycle, or the 800, you know, single-year cycle. And right here we have an 800. This image in front of us is an 800-year cycle. Now, when I was studying this, look what happens right here. If we look at when this, so this is 2000, and this over here is 800 years previous. Now, when I put the same thing, this is tropical. In the tropical, it's a nice, even though the ellipse is throwing it over, there's no break in that cycle. So, When we talk about in this chapter here, and it's saying that the cycle will move through the elements every 800 years, and here it's saying 794.37 for 40 conjunctions, returning to within 93 degrees of the starting point. That is based on the tropical calculation. That is not the sidereal calculation. So here, when we're looking at this, this is tropical. It's returning to 0.93 the same. When we're over here in the sidereal, you got to think, every 72 years, it's moving 1 degree. So if we take 800 years and divide that by 72, it's moved 11 degrees. So it's actually coming back 12 degrees difference when we use a sidereal as opposed to using a tropical. Interesting, huh? Let's see. So I talk about how it's used for predicting. Predictions are made according to the chart at the time of the exact conjunction. So wherever you are, and for countries, we would look at Washington, D.C. You know, on the exact moment of the conjunction, what is the chart in Washington, D.C.? And that lugna is going to vary throughout the world. So it's going to change, you know, what's going on there. And do we take a moment and do we have time? Do we have time? We have very little time, but we'll do it anyway. So we do new. And
should we be using sidereal for mundane?
You know, I'm not saying X or Y. I'm just putting the image out there and you can, you know, make your own decision. But it's one that, you know, in Edith's work, she didn't even do any comparison there. And to me, I would really want to see a comparison.
What was she using?
I think she used the standard sidereal and didn't question it. So our last conjunction was in 2000. And can you real fast Google the or find that exact time, Frank?
Try the last conjunction.
Yeah, it was in 2000. All right.
May 31st, 2000.
May 31, 2000. And do you have the time or do we gotta find it?
No, I have to.
All right. So we have Jupiter at 29 Aries and we have Saturn at 29:17 and let's see. 29:17:55 and Jupiter. So we gotta move ahead a little bit. And
10:13:27.
10:13:27. And that's AM or PM?
AM.
All right. I haven't come in. Okay. So here we have Jupiter 29:34:02, and we have Saturn 29:15. So that's not an exact conjunction.
Okay. My source is off.
Yeah, source is off. And so let's see. So here Jupiter is ahead, so we want to move back in time. And if I move, can you see, you probably can't see it. Let's see. Screen share. That's the only thing. I have to stop the screen share and re the screen share every time to change it. So our goal is we want Jupiter, we want exactly the same degree for Jupiter and Saturn. So here we have Saturn at 14 and
I think it's a couple couple days earlier than that.
Yeah. A
few days. Okay, I've got it at 5/28, May 28th at 11:38 a.m.
So May 28th, you said?
Yeah, 11:38, my time. So maybe it's 10:38 for you.
Well, I'm looking for Washington, D.C.
Oh, then that's probably not the right time.
So we have 28:53,
28:50. Later, I think. Two or three hours later.
So we have
1:38 or 2:38 p.m.
It'd be sooner in D.C., wouldn't it?
So here we have Saturn 28:53:59, Jupiter 23:54. So we're still slightly off. And let's see. So is Jupiter's below, so we're going to go forward.
When we have to go back?
Jupiter's ahead, yeah, so we have to go back. Did I say forward?
Yeah.
I'm just trying, my eyes, I'm trying to keep. So we're 18, and Jupiter is... Oh, we got it right there. Nope, he's a whole degree off. All right, so now
I still, so even for Washington, I have 1:26 p.m. on May 28th.
For the exact same degree, even to the seconds.
28:52.
28, see, what INUMSHA are you using?
Well, okay, maybe it's Washington State and not Washington
State. No, right.
But I don't think so, though.
You want to be D.C., make sure you're D.C., and make sure you're using True Lahiri Chitrapaksha.
Yeah, no, this is Washington, D.C.
54... Get that. 54 and 53. And you're getting May 28th, you're saying?
Yeah.
28:53, 28.
I have it at
28:52. See, I'm 28:53 is what I'm zoning in on. What's your INUMSHA?
I don't know. How do I say that?
Preferences, INUMSHA.
Oh, I'm in Sri Jyoti Star.
Great. Leave it in there because I want to... It'll be nice to see the slight difference that it does make.
Okay.
So, we're almost 29 and 19... Jupiter, so they're both 53. Where am I? No, I'm off. Because I'm looking at the bottom. Why am I off? 23, 27.
Oh, look, I just opened there and got rid of it. What about 1? 28:52.
Yeah, you're not getting seconds in there, though. Mm-mm. See, I'm chasing it. Saturn's moving really fast right here. So we got 53, 17, and 25. So I'm just moving it to the minute now. The thing is, Saturn's moving really fast. All right. And you watching it, Frank, or will you?
I'm trying to do it too, just
to get those seconds just right, because they're both moving. I'm at 13. I'm at 12 and 10 right now, so I'm in seconds. All right, so now I have to go to part seconds to get it exact, and I'm not going to go to part seconds. But I'm getting 11:55 a.m., May 28th. What do you have, Maggie?
Yeah, I have 1:26 p.m.
Oh, what a difference. And I'm sure you're Ayanamsha, you're using straight Lahiri.
How do I check on Trijyoti?
Do you have the new version? I have no clue. Global preferences should have something. What do you got, Frank?
I'm at 11:51, closer to 52. It's almost exact.
Yeah, I'm getting 11:55, and here the Lugna is 2 degrees Leo. What do you got, Maggie?
Yeah, I do have Lahiri. I have 20 degrees, almost 21 degrees of Leo.
Well, at least we're all in Leo, so that makes that interpretation, you know, relatively easy. And so in that realm, so for the U.S., In this cycle, this part of the 20-year cycle, we got Marna Kargastana Moon.
Oh, nice.
You know, pretty tough, and that Nietzsche Saturn showing up in the ninth house. But we have a Malavya Mahapurusha Yoga. So we got some nice things and we got some bad things. And it's a Digbala sun. So the U.S. grows in power. There's lots of good movies that get made with that Venus. But there's a lot of loss of life, and the quality of living is being destroyed with that Marna Kargastana moon. And if we had time, I would say let's look at the next one. But
I think we should look at the next one.
that's the one.
Oh my gosh, I already had it saved. Uh-huh. Oh! We spending all that time calculating it, and it was already saved. Open. 2000 Jupiter Saturn. What do I before I had it at 12:04, but
it's
that
81.
Oh, so that this is the previous one, before that. So that's the 81 one. There's the 2000 one. 11:54 is what I had it at. So exactly what we had gotten to. Interesting. And it's running Leo. And I hate to say, but you know, who comes to finish off this dasha is Mr. Leo himself. So what's our next year, 2020? You want to look real fast and get us a detail of when that is? And then we'll...
It could be homework.
Homework? Okay. Hear that, Maggie? You didn't get any...
Yeah.
I can't believe I already had it saved and we spent all that time. Ay, ay, ay. life. All right. So we got how everybody gets how that's utilized, right? Now, there's some historical research done on this with China, because China has a pretty intensive history with its dynasties, and and those dynasties are changing every 800 years. Back in the day, the Arabs, if you became an Arab king, you were all about, like, one of the big things you had to do was you had to have your Jupiter cycle things calculated and your whole family history put into the Jupiter cycle timeline. That's the old Muslim rulers in India. That was their big thing. They were really into it. Here I got a chart down here at the bottom. Ah, there it is, which would make it really easy. Let's see. I got a whole 800-year cycle in front of us. So it's December 21st, 2020. And the conjunction's happening in 029 of Aquarius. Do we want to look real fast now that we know the time?
I do.
Real fast. Come on, let's see. Let's see what we can get real fast here.
The winter solstice too. Interesting.
You got to be fast, Maggie.
Okay, wait. I found the conjunction for 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What time?
It's December 21st.
Uh-huh.
At 11:29 a.m.
On your calculations.
On Sri Jyoti, yeah.
So it's, and how much different? It was 2 hours difference before?
Yeah. Yours was, I think, 2 hours earlier.
Yeah, so I'm going to just start with 2 hours earlier. And so we got for Saturn 2045. Oh, so this chart is a tropical chart that's given in the book, which the times are the same. It's just where the degree is changes. And so let's see, with this, we got to go slightly forward. Saturn is 20, Jupiter still.
I have it at six degrees and 19 minutes. Second minutes.
Six, I'm getting it, so let's see, this is 6, 21, 24, the button to move these things just takes so long in J-Hora. It's easier to... I'm around 12:20.
Really?
Yeah. Strange, isn't it?
So, what day is that on?
December 21st.
Oh.
That's where you are, right? Yeah?
Yeah. It doesn't seem very auspicious that it's happening in the 12th house. The Saturn-Jupiter conjunction.
Ah, you see, but for me, I have it moving into the 11th.
Oh.
But I'm not getting the exact. It's taking too long, and we got a lot to cover.
Homer.
All right. So, all right. We're done, Brisbane to years. You get all your questions answered, Maggie?
Yes.
Yes.
I've got one.
Yeah.
We kind of mentioned this before. I brought up kind of like my students, and you know how certain years, like, I'll get a lot of kids with, you know, the same placements of Jupiter and Saturn, and you said those leave a mark. And so I'm just curious, like, how to delineate, you know, a group like that. I don't know.
You lost me.
You had said, it leaves some kind of mark on the chart or on this group of people born within the same samsara. So I'm just curious, like, what, you know, what we could pull out of that for, like, a group of people born within a particular one.
So for that, I would say, you want to go into Varahamihira, and he lists a result for each year, but he lists it for farming, and the Muhurta texts do as well. Do you know where that is? I'm not going to dig through it now.
I was looking at it the other day. I gotta open up something else.
And so if you look, like, they'll sit there and say, oh, in this Samvatsara, it's stormy and all the crops get destroyed by hail. In this one, there's not enough rain. In this one, after 3 years of not enough rain, we get tons of rain and floods come and break the dam. I'm making fun of our local situation. and poor Oroville will have to be evacuated.
I think in Jataka Parijata, there's ones that are more tailored to, like, individuals.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, those are always so... So, I mean, are we taking that and then seeing... Of course, we don't have to see it in an individual chart, I'd imagine, or can we...
Yeah. I mean, it's meant for just really generalized, but I personally would go for the weather, and I would extrapolate that onto human consciousness.
Okay.
You know, a year of lack or a year of plenty or a year of excess rain. And to me, if I had a few million dollars in an astrological research center, I would have a team just looking at weather patterns and this cycle and correlating them so that we would have something a little bit more, you know, together, and who knows, we could be 3 years off or something, you know what I mean, and not know it, so, or we might be exactly where it's supposed to be. I'm not positive, so.
Yeah. But, where we're supposed to be as far as calculating which year it actually is, you mean, or?
I mean, there is the year that we're given by India, standard, yeah. which is the official year primarily used in India. You know, but was there a Kshaya year and one of them disappeared? And maybe there was three Kshaya years because they haven't been using Kshaya years for the last 800 years. And, you know, so what variations are there? And is it lining up exactly with the weather or not? To me, I'd really love some research. And maybe, you know, if we had a few million dollars and a team that's all they focused on all day for a few months, we could, you know, get all the weather compilations which are available to us for the last 200 years, and we throw them into a computer and we graph out the 60-year cycle, and we create our own 60-year cycle that's specific for America or specific for California. You know, and see what that is, because who says that 60-year weather cycle is for California? It could be, you know what I mean? So there's a huge amount of research that needs to be there. And I was hoping that some of that research would have been done in Edith's book, but I think we have a lot more to do. All right. So all questions answered? And I know my question kind of just was a very vague, big, you know, thing with weather, and maybe it's not right, but that's how I would approach it, you know?
Okay.
In that book, though, the results that he's giving for the year are supposed to be for everywhere, or just specifically India, or what?
So they're given in an Indian text, but one of the things about Varaha Mihira, he was a Magha Brahmin, meaning that his family immigrated. They were Vedic culture that immigrated from Iran into India. And when people think of Vedic culture, they normally in this day and age they think only India, but India. Basically, Thailand, from Thailand all the way to Iran had Vedic culture in the ancient time period. Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and northern India is probably the most ancient Vedic culture, and it moved into all the way to Thailand, Cambodia by the fifth century of the Common Era. You know, it moved all the way out there. And then the Iran, Afghanistan, and Pakistan after Islam was created, slowly they were the first to get beaten down and heads chopped off and converted. And but during that time, there was lots of migrations going in different directions. And so, bottom line is, Varaha Mihira came from a family that originally was from Iran. And when we look at some of the things he says, they are directly coming out of ancient Babylonian clay tablets. For example, his chapter on eclipses, what kind of eclipses and how to predict them, it's almost verbatim from the, and I don't know how to say it exactly, Anuliema. You guys don't even know. It's the most famous Babylonian astrological omen text. It's completely just, you know, he just gave a complete reading of that. And
what's this book called about the weather patterns, if you don't mind?
The weather? Varaha Mihira. Varaha Mihira. He's the author. Frank, do you know if it's
Brihat Samhita?
It's Brihat Samhita, right? That's his big omen text, and a lot of that is coming from Babylonian texts. Now, some people say, "Oh, you know, don't put down India because saying it's a Babylonian text." And to me, it's the wrong way of looking at it. And there's two elements to why it's the wrong way of saying that we're putting down Indian culture. One, Varaha Mihira was Vedic culture. And so those Babylonian texts, there was Vedic people right there at the same time practicing alongside of those other guys. You know, there was, at that time period, there was Sumerian religion and there was Vedic culture. And then slowly Zoroastrianism evolved, and they were all living together. So for us to sit there and say that those clay tablets from Babylon were not of the Vedic culture is really kind of like saying that people who are Protestant in America aren't part of American culture. You know what I mean? There's Protestants and Catholics and Jews and Hindus all living together in here. And then we can't really sit there and say that a scientific text written in America doesn't belong to all of them, right? You know, it's one of the misconceptions that people have. So there was Vedic culture right there at that time. The second important thing that correlation brings is by the time of Varaha Mihira, those clay tablets had disappeared. They were buried. No, he wasn't reading clay tablets. Those clay tablets were completely buried and disappeared. So he was coming from a living tradition of that material. And he's writing in the 4th, 5th century of the Common Era. Now, according to Pingree, as Frank knows, the Greeks brought astrology to India. Now, if the Greeks brought astrology to India, what is Varaha Mihira doing talking Babylonian, something that's found in the Babylonian texts? that the Greeks didn't have. You got my point here. So the fact that some of that's coming from this Iranian origin is both telling us that it's old. It's super old school. And we don't have to differentiate it from Vedic culture. But yeah, so how did we get into that? So was it India? So those weather interpretations, were they India? Were they North India? Were they Iran? Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry if this is a silly question, but what was going on with the Dravidian culture then? Did that exist before the Vedic culture came down and then like assimilated or?
So Dravidian culture is not my specialty. They don't have any astrological texts for me to study. And so I, that's my, when I talk all this history, I'm really looking at cultures that were doing astrology.
And they were not.
Not the type of astrology that we're studying.
Okay.
And if they were, there's no textual references previous to these references that we have.
Okay.
So that's as far as I can share. Now, were there some South Indian texts after this time period that were incredible in South India? Totally. Did they have it before this tradition? Nothing that I know of.
Okay.
And so that's as much as I know. All right. And you know, a lot of the genetic, there's been super huge amount of genetic research of the people of the Harappan Valley, of Northern Indians, South Indians, and all this kind of stuff, and none of it's being released. And I don't know why it's not being released, but I have a feeling that somebody's not happy with what the actual information says, because we should be hearing a lot more about the genetic history happening there, and we're not. But what we do know is India was one of the first places populated after Africa. That people left Africa and came to India, and then they left India and went into Europe. So from the Middle East and India, it came that way, and then it went up. So we know that much. And Europe was filled with a bunch of Neanderthals, and that Middle Eastern Indian culture genetics moved into Europe, and they were the Homo sapiens, you know? It was a bunch of Neanderthals in Europe. But any which way, that didn't answer your Dravidian question. but the Dravidians, when we look at them, they have the closest ties back to Africa. And then when you take the Australian Aboriginals, the understanding now is that they came out of Africa, went into India, and then left India and went down to Australia.
Yeah, because the Dravidian physical characteristics look almost Australian Aboriginal.
And so that's the genetic connection there. And there's a few islands that have been separated for a long time that they're getting a lot of really cool genetic, islands that went off and then nobody mixed with for an extended period of time. And that's also giving us all kinds of cool genetic information that is not being really, it's either not being written in a way that we can understand or not being shared. But any which way, we got to jump. We got half an hour to cover time. Half an hour to cover time? The big cycle. Human mind has a tendency to become limited in small time periods. Let's see. But we have to think about these long periods. And geologists also think about long time periods, right? All right, so all kinds of visualize the Earth's movement, da 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 da. Relativity of time. So how's time work relativity wise? What do I mean here?
Like theory of relativity or like
our theory of relativity that was long before Einstein. which Einstein basically put into modern terms, but it already existed.
Well, each planet or, you know, perspective is going to have its own version.
But how do we know the version of time that they have?
The cycles of the planets.
Anybody?
Are we talking like Deva years, that kind of thing here?
Say again?
Like Deva years? I mean, it's
Deva times years?
A lot slower the higher you go.
Higher you go, the slower the time goes. You know, if we look at the planets, the farther out there, the slower they're moving. So 1 year on Jupiter is 12 years. Mm-hmm. So when we're looking at Deva years, we're looking at when we go up to the Devic realm, the sun is moving. So 1 year is equal to one of their days. So you go up and you visit Shiva and you sit down and you hang out with Shiva for 3 days. You come back and 3 years have passed. Okay? So now if we go up to the Brahma realm, you hang out for 1 day. How many years have passed?
Eternity.
A whole yuga has passed. You know what I mean? So the higher up we go, the faster times, the you know, we're there for a day, but time down here is moving at an incredible speed. What happens if we go to one of the lower lokas, to the hell realms?
Moving, it's the opposite.
Forever, it's taking forever and forever. So if you go down to the Naga realm, you can be down in the Naga realm for a month, come up and you've been gone for like a few hours. It goes the opposite direction. So when they talk in the text about when you go to the hell realms after death and are suffering, like there's certain things where I can't remember. I do my best to not remember, you know? People who steal, they have something taken away from them. People who are greedy. So people who are greedy, they have this tiny, tiny little mouth, and there's all this food put in front of them, and they're super hungry, but they can't get it in. And so there's like, they're tortured. They're like starving, and there's food in front of them, but they can't eat. So people who are greedy, this is the hell realm they go to. So there's like...
Can they eat even just a little bit, just really slowly?
You got to look in the Puranas. The Puranas like describe every single bad thing you can do in the hell realm that you're going to go to for it, you know? And you know, there's certain ones where you boil in water like while you're alive, and you just keep boiling. Like you don't die, you just boil, and then you just got to keep suffering, and... There's you know, yeah, there's some horrible hell realms to go to. But the big thing is, when you go to those hell realms, you know, a person might die, go to a hell realm, suffer for 10,000 years, and be born in the next month. Mm-hmm. You know, these realms are they're different. You can go and suffer and burn off all this karma down there, come back and boom, it's only been a month. But if you go up to the higher realms, it's a whole multiple yugas can go by. And to me, and I mentioned this in the recording, the coolest thing is to me is every culture has stories of this. You know, in Europe we have Rip Van Winkle, right? He went to sleep, went to some higher loka, came back, and like years and years had passed. The Celtics have this story, it's one of my favorites, where this guy falls in love with this Devic woman. He goes and he spends some time with her in her loka, and he misses home so much, and he wants to go back and visit. And his wife says, things aren't like they used to be, though. He says, I just want to go visit. She said, okay, don't touch the earth, though. And so he came, he got on a horse, and he's riding on the horse, and he's looking around, and like multiple yugas. He was from Satya Yuga, and all of a sudden it was like Kali Yuga. And he's like, oh my gosh, like there's five guys trying to lift a rock that's the size of my horse, and they can't even do it. And so he leaned over to like lift the rock for him, because to him it was like nothing. He was from a different yuga, which is pretty cool, you know, when you think about it, like the rock movement and the yugas were different, right? And so he leaned over to move the rock, And the strap on the saddle broke, and he fell off the horse and touched the ground, and he was stuck there, couldn't go back to his wife. That's like a Celtic story that's so sad. But, you know, it talks about, it just, you know, like all cultures have this whole concept of people going to other lokas, coming back, and time being different.
It makes sense that Kali Yuga would be more dense, you know?
And things are heavier, you know?
Yeah.
And so we are weaker because we're the same, but everything else gets more dense. Because, like, yeah. So this is the relativity of time. So I've always been like, how can I go to the Naga Loka to do some mantras, you know? I can go down there, do 10,000 mantras, come up, and it's only been a few minutes. Gotta figure that one out, you know? Yeah. All right, so page 70, it gives an exact correlation. One sidereal year, and so it's sidereal, is a day of the devas. 30 years or 10,800 human days is a month of the devas. So 10,800, so it's that 108 number. 10,800... human days is a month to in the Devic realm. So if you go up there and you're in a dream, you're learning something for the month, you come back, 30 years have gone by. And then we have 360 human years, and that's a divine year. A Deva Varsha. Divya Varsha. Then we have for the ancestors. Ancestors are connected to the moon. And there, for one synodic month, it's a day for the Pitris. So for feeding the ancestors, the concept is we feed the ancestors on Amavasya. And if every Amavasya, you put a little food out for your deceased ancestors, you're feeding them every day. So if you feed them every day, that's a bit too much food for them, don't you think?
is there any kind of situation in a chart where you have like a specific debt to the ancestors?
Pitri dosha.
Okay.
First son.
Okay.
Yeah, or a magha ashlesha gandanta issue.
Okay.
So those are our two. And there's more, let's see. There's more Pitri doshas than that. But those are the primary Pitri doshas.
I should probably make some contributions.
You have a cursed son?
I have Gandanta.
Between
sun and moon.
Sun and moon.
In Ashlesha.
In Ashlesha. But you're on Ashlesha, you're not on the Magha side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you have some Sarpa karmas that need to be cleaned up. So during the Shravana Shiva pujas in the summer, you should be one of the sponsors during the Naga Panchami puja.
Yes.
Okay. So continually every year. All right. So we got this concept here. Now it's so important to understand that, you know, in English we have this concept of hundreds and thousands and millions. And if I say 1 million, I'm not accidentally meaning 100. Like it's a unit, a million. So when they say Diva Varsha, a divine year, is a way to take time and divide it by 100 to make it a little more calculable. You know, it's a way to cut two zeros off. All right. So, let's see. Yuga's big cycle of time. Da 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 da. And let's see, Ahir Buddha Samhita. And in this verse, there's two magic things. I'm on the page 71, bottom part. Here I say, commentators from the 1800s called the number calculations of the Hindu text as fanciful and showing of the Hindu's wild imagination. And it's Wilson that says that, and I guess I'm still not finding it. That's why I didn't put a reference there. But I read it, and I remember clearly. But what I did find for today, I'm looking at his Vishnu Purana notes on chapter 3. And here he says, these calculations of time are found in most of the Puranas, with some addition occasionally of no importance, as that of da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He calls them of no importance, you know? And now remember, this is a guy who believed that the world is 5,000 years old because the Bible said so. So of course these big years are of no importance to somebody of, you know, in that consciousness. And then he says in footnote number 4, he says, it does not seem necessary to refer to the invention to any astronomical computations or to any attempt to represent actual chronology. He's like, this is just crazy. There's no, you know, reality to this. In footnote, it's footnote number 6. He's talking about the length, the yugas, and he says, to provide for this deficiency, indeed, very minute subdivisions are admitted into the calculation. So they talk about the Sundays, and he calls them, you know, just making up for their poor math. So, you know, we're reading this guy as if he, like, understood what he was translating, and it's clear, you know, he didn't get it. And, you know, for his time period, it wasn't possible for him to get. Let's see. So, going back here, in page 71 in the book, in the Ahir Buddhana Samhita, the sage is asked, and there's a lot in this, how long is the creation a milk-giving cow taking any shape she wishes? And how long is she a denu, a cow giving no milk, not flourishing? So in this, the universe, the whole world is being can called a cow. So this universe, this is the cow giving milk. And when the involution happens and the Big Bang goes opposite and it goes back into a clump, that's the cow not giving milk. So this is the terminology they used for these concepts. Now, if we don't translate it in the right way, then this is nonsensical. You know, so he's asking, you know, how long is this, is the creation a milk-giving cow, and how long does it go back into the nothingness so that it's not giving? It's not flourishing anymore. And after that question, the units of time are mentioned when discussing the timing of the creation and dissolution. They use larger units of time, which are measured in divine years. Divine years? What's a divine year?
A day.
Divine year?
No.
360 yeah. Human years. Okay. So when we look at the yugas, the yuga calculation is given in divine years. So it talks about Satya Yuga being 4,000 years, Treta Yuga 3,000, Dwapara Yuga 2,000, and Kali 1,000. But we're multiplying that by 360. And when we multiply Kali Yuga by 360, we have 432,000. Where does that number show up?
Everywhere.
Okay, everywhere. We don't have to go back and find it. But we saw it's showing up in multiple places. So it's not an accident. And when we add all those yugas together, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, Kali, guess how many we have? 4.32 million. So we have that 432 number again showing up. So it shows up all through time, and even in this bigger harmonic, it's again another big harmonic. So here I just mentioned, you know, when Kali Yuga started, the general understanding is 3102 BC. And I should say BCE. Oh my goodness, I'm being politically incorrect there. 72. Page 72. BCE. Those are all my corrections. And BC, if I just say BC, it's before Christ. BCE is before the Common Era. And I get yelled at in more politically correct, hyper-feminist astrological settings. So... So Kali Yuga started at that time, and that's in most Vedic astronomers believe that to be so. And in the Christian and Arabic astronomers, they call that the year of the flood. So So to them, it was the year of the flood. For us, it's the beginning of Kali Yuga. And so they start all their cycles similarly from that same 3102 BC. But you know, they believe the world was only 2,000 years before that, because of the line of, you know, that came after Adam. Based upon Adam and how many years they all said, that's how they're basing their timeline. Whew.
It seems like the actual flood was older than that, though, wasn't it?
It depends on whose theory we look at.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, that's what they called the year of the flood. That's what the Arabic and Christian astrologers called the year of the flood. So occasionally, and if you ever get into any of those writings, you'll see them mentioned, and the year of the flood, and they calculate planet, you know, how many Jupiter Saturn cycles have happened since the year of the flood, and they're based on that.
That was around the time of Krishna's life as well.
Right? That's when he's supposed to leave his body. He was a yuga avatar, so he came at the change of the yuga. And I give a little calculation here that it's, you know, he left a little bit, like, let's see, I have him, yeah. I ever tell the story of how we got his chart?
No.
No? So how we got his chart was, it was back in the early 2000s, and Andrew Foss had programmed his computer so that instead of putting in a date and getting information, you could create a chart with the nakshatras and any details that you had, and it would tell you when that chart was possible. So, and Andrew came, and it was in New Jersey. We had just had a New Jersey conference, and Andrew came and was hanging out afterwards, and it was when he had just begun to meet Sanjay. And he told Sanjay that, and Sanjay said, "Oh yeah? Put this chart in there." And he read off Krishna's birth chart from the Puranas. And Andrew said, you know, we can, you know, do you want it like 1,000 years this way, 1,000 years that way? He said, you know, what's the maximum? And so it was 10,000 years one way, 10,000 years another way. Only time that chart happened was 3,227 BC. Only time that chart happened. And it was like, it totally lines up with the more Vedic, with the more Hindu, and I'll say the more Hindutva, not fundamentalism Hindutva, but just the standard Hindutva belief of when Krishna lived. Just completely lines up. And I was, at that point, I scratched my head and I said, okay, I don't believe a lot of things, but I just gotta surrender. Because if it said 9,000, you know, common era, what's that chart? You know, somebody made it up in the Puranas. But it said the right time. I was like, oh my goodness, this is too much. I surrender. I surrender. Oh. So, what do you do? But okay. So, the Mahayugas. So a Mahayuga is all four yugas together, which is 4.32 million. And then, let's see. 1,000 Mahayugas are called a day of Brahma, which is a kalpa. So a kalpa is a nice way to say that many, you know, it's an easy way. It's kind of like we say millions and billions. It's a kalpa. And so this guy, H.H. Wilson, he's like, oh, these stupid things that mean nothing. Like, this is giving a terminology, and it's a different way of giving a terminology to numbers. And during a day of Brahma, there's 14 Manvantara, which are equal to 71 Mahayuga. And so somewhere in here, I give some, I spent a lot of time researching those numbers. And here we have all the billions and trillions of the day of Brahma and the night of Brahma and all that. And let's see. So when Brahma manifests, the creation lasts 4.32 billion years, which... which, according to modern science, is close to the scientific age of the sun and the earth, which at present, the present understanding, or at the time that I wrote this book, was 4.57 billion. It's said in the same, the seasons recur periodically in the Vedas, the kalpa is described as a pool, okay. 720 kalpa, or 360 Brahma, Aharatra make a Brahma year. Which is equal to all this big thing. Present science believes that the solar system is 4.6 billion years old, and the universe is 14 billion years old. And dating is argued in a million different ways, but it's lining up with that time period of a day of Brahma. It's fitting into that in a proper way. And any of you guys seen the what's the term? It's a Hawaiian term because it was discovered in a Hawaiian observatory. The Analia or something like that. Let's see. No one knows what I'm talking about? The most recent imaging of the universe? Let's see if I can dig it up. I posted it a long time ago.
Oh, like the known universe?
The known universe. Yep. They have the most recent map. And it's really one of the most beautiful things.
Looks like a neuro network of brain cells, if I'm familiar.
Let's see, I'll dig it up. It's called... Scientists map 8,000 galaxies surrounding us.
Wow.
8,000 galaxies. And it has a masculine and a feminine polarity, too. It's kind of absurd. Let's see. I'm going to downsize.
8,000 times... approximately in galaxies.
Scientists mapped... 8,000 galaxies. Give me a better image. What's the name they call it, though? 10 points to the person that gets the name. Any which way, let's see. So this is the image they came up with, right there. And there's better images than others, but this is the one that Google's given me at the moment.
Is that You Are Here?
That's the You Are Here, yeah. But they found the whole polarity with it, and let's see, think about that for a moment, billions of stars. Oh, okay, this is what I was looking for.
Somewhere in the universe is a small blue planet. We can see that this is just the tip of the iceberg. This cluster of clusters is merely an appendage of a much larger supercluster, more than 100 times bigger and more massive. But how did the team know how to redraw the boundaries of this cosmic map? Here's our supercluster
it's
in black,
polarities.
And a neighboring structure, Perseus Pisces, in red. Scientists defined the boundary as the points where the flows of galaxies diverge, like water dividing at a watershed. This is where neighboring structures shear apart. This is the first clear definition of a supercluster. Laniakea means immeasurable heaven in Hawaiian, a fitting name for the vast community of galaxies that we are a part of. So now we know that on the edge of a supercluster called Laniakea, in a galaxy called the Milky Way, around...
All right.
And so that's just one little section, even that huge mass.
But that right there, if we look at the timing and all of that, it completely fits into to our bigger yuga structure, and you know Brahma days and Manvantaras. The timing of all that completely lines up. So we actually have an image of what this looks like now, which. You know, how did the rishis come up with this? Somehow they knew this. And you saw how there was the black and the red? So there's this male-female polarity. which is, you know, it just that polarity is there all the way up, the day night polarity. All right. So, conclusion to time. Let's see. The galactic year may be 23 million years or 0.8 of a Manvantara. So the Manvantara is a galactic year. Just the days line up. So they used to call it like Indian's fanciful imagination. And we get that it's way more than that. All right. So what did we learn by get all this reading about time, huh?
I just get a feeling of like, just it gives me a feeling of like a mystical clarity. Studying it, I love it. It's.
I think we learned how big and how small things are, and how that bigness and smallness are connected through different
harmonics. Yep. Good.
I've learned I have a lot more research to do.
I just opened the can of worms, huh? All right. So, let's see here. What do I want to read from this conclusion, for our conclusion? We've got a minute. So, let's see. I'm on page 75. On a material level, Kalpurusha manifests as the movement of the luminaries, the stars, and the stars of the sky. Maitreya Upanishad says that the time that has a body is the ocean of creatures. Resting in it is the sun, from whom the moon, stars, planets, year are produced. From them comes all this here, whatever is seen in this world, fair or foul, so Brahman has the sun as its self. Therefore, one should worship the sun under the name of time. let's see. Next verse. This time with parts works through its limbs, the days, months, seasons, and ayanas. And where's that coming from? That's coming from the Vedanga Jyotisham, which is that book we read last time, right? From 1900 BCE. The increments of time make the manifestation of the embodied time. In this way, we cannot separate the divisions of time from this creator who was made of the year. The full moon, days of the breath, da 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 da. All right. I'll read one. The Vedas say that some look at the father's five. Yeah, I'm not going to. All right. Let's go back to page 4 in the book. And so now, Parashar, this prayer should have a whole new meaning. Maitreya says, Parashara says, you have an honorable question for the welfare of the world. And so he starts with a prayer before he starts teaching. He's like, okay, I'm going to answer you. Let me say a prayer before I start answering you. He says, now bowing to Param Brahma and his power, the word. So he first acknowledges the Supreme, acknowledges the power of the word, Vakshakti, who's Saraswati. And then he says, and the sun, Lord of the Grahas, who causes the universe to produce its effects. Ha ha ha. What was he meaning when he said that, huh? That's a loaded verse. Can you understand that verse without understanding everything in that chapter, huh? Sun, Lord of the Grahas, who causes the universe to produce its effects. So here he's not just talking about the sun, he's talking about the power of time. And if we looked in the creation chapter, remember we had the trinity of Purush, Prakriti, and Kala? And here his first prayer is to Param Brahman, Purusha, to the power of the word, Prakriti, and to the sun, who is Kala. So we have the Trinity right there. And he says, and acknowledging that, I will now speak the eye of the Vedas, as heard from the mouth of the Creator. Whole new way of looking at what he just stated there, right? There's like, I mean, the depth that we... Whoa, it's a powerful verse. What a prayer, huh? What a prayer. He acknowledged the sources of everything right there. All right. So, and let's jump over. I'm on page 76 back there. In Arjuna's divine vision of time, the supreme, the Vishwarupa, the form of everything, was revealed as one single complete universe, yet divided in many ways. This primeval Purusha, this primeval person, divided the universe of himself. For one to perceive the entire universe as this form is called the yoga of the universal form. So not only is the creation from one body of the supreme taught, but the yoga of seeing everything as the divine body. So when they teach the Vishvarupa Adhyaya, they're teaching this perceiving of everything in one and to see the units and to see it all as one yet all as parts. The Gita's teaching that, and here we're working with that same reality. All right. Maitreya Upanishad says, time ripens all beings in the great self, but the one who knows in what time is ripened knows the Vedas. Ha ha. All right. So we're done time. Hallelujah. Next time if you begin reading chapter 3, we haven't really finished time. We've just begun time, you know? because everything else in here is just another way of reading time. You know, it's just another way of reading time. We're going into Nisarga Dasha next, and we're reading biological time. We're reading the biological clock. And then after the biological clock, we read the gunas and the tattvas, which is the primary factors that we read how we read time. Time is changing the gunas. Remember the creation chapter? Time started moving the gunas, and the gunas started shifting. And they started turning and mixing, and then all of creation came to be. And then it's creation's coming to be, the tattvas start mixing, and who's mixing them?
Time.
So, and then what do we have next? Then we have special ascendants, right? Is that the next thing? No, then we have, then after tattvas, we have birth circumstances. And I threw birth circumstances there because, you know, we're talking about birth. We have all the factors of what we are as a being. And then we jump into, okay, you know, we talked about the factors that make who we are. Now let's get born. And we start from, we're really starting from the very beginning, you know. We started from creation, time, gunas, tattvas. We throw in biological time and then we get born. So that's the order happening. And then with birth, we have special ascendants. And special ascendants are a different way to calculate time. Then we have Narayana Dasha, which is, again, that's a Rashi time. So that's going to be our Rashi Dasha. You don't know Rashi Dashas yet, do you? No? So that'll be a first for you, I know.
That's different than the Chara Dasha.
That is a Chara Dasha.
Okay.
You use Charadasha?
Well, I don't really understand them, but I've seen them.
Okay. But do you use Charadasha, Maggie? Narayana Dasha? So when we're done, you know, Nisarga and Narayana, you're going to be like, how was I ever not using them? You know what I mean? It's kind of like, to make an interpretation without that is, yeah. Then we do a little medical astrology. And which throws in Bhadaka, and then we do a little curses and remedies. So we'll be done. We'll be done midsummer, Frank. It won't take 2 years. All right.
I don't mind taking longer. Not a problem here.
All right. So let's see. What do we want to make sure we do ahead of time? So the beginning of this Nisarga Dasha, there's a little kind of, there's lots of philosophy. Read the philosophy and calculate. We're not going to do Nisarga Bhava Dasha. We'll throw that for another time. So that's on 97. So read to page 96 and get your Nisarga Dasha. You know, look at it, calculate it by hand. And, you know, do one or two charts just by hand. So when you do it by computer afterwards, you know what the computer is doing. It's not some mystery. The computer just gives you data. Like, you know. And even if you don't remember it afterwards, it doesn't matter. At least you know where to look. You know the concept behind it. So do that section. Calculate your chart. And if you come in with that calculated, we'll be able to have a lot more fun.
Real quick question on that. I've just been in like this conversation with somebody who studies with Ernst.
Yeah.
And they were calculating the Antar Dashas using signs. Does that make any sense?
For Nisarga Dasha?
Yeah.
For Nisarga Bhava Dasha, but I mean wouldn't.
No, but for Nisarga Dasha.
Never heard of it.
Okay.
And I've heard of some. I know three variations of Nisarga Dasha. And I haven't heard that one, so you've just given me a fourth. But
he referenced it coming from Parashara, and I was.
For Nisarga Dasha, Parashara doesn't give us that.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was.
So ask that person for the exact reference that they're making that up from. Yeah, Parashara is not giving us an Antar Dasha calculation. The Antar Dasha calculation is coming from, let's see, we got the Antar Dasha Adhyaya. We have some reference coming from there, but it's not coming as, we'll talk about it next time, but... It's an indirect. We're using a calculation, but it doesn't say to use this for Nisarga. Maggie, if you got some free time and you're not busy with your dogs,
I'm currently very busy with a dog.
Really?
Yeah.
Your dog walking's taking off.
Yeah, you could say that.
That just makes me laugh. Say again.
What were you gonna say?
If you have some time, I recommend checking out when you study this here, look at Erik Erikson's Stages of Life, and just his research, and you know, this chapter was really written a little before I kind of got into his stuff. And I wish I had a little more of his because, I mean, it would flush it out 10 times the level of what we have in the ancient texts with modern research data. But it can, so just look at his stages, Erik Erikson. And I say his and his wife, because he didn't do it alone. All right. Good class. I'll see you guys next week. Ooh-la. Oh, Prince, I got the Prince
exactly.
On rock star. She's projecting on the poor. She's projecting on the poor kid and forcing him to be something he's not. And he's not even. She wants him to be Prince reincarnated. She's like hoping he's gonna be queer. She's like, you know, she's like, and the poor kid. But the poor kid, I mean, you know. It's like you're supposed to come out and you accept what you got, not project your own stuff on them.
Yeah. Unless you choose their birth time, like some people do.
That was recorded.